Novell Open Audio, the podcast that connects the Novell user community with what's going on inside and around the Novell universe. Welcome to Novell Open Audio. I'm your host, Aaron Quill.
And I'm Ron Terry. Today on the line, we have Tobin Eisenberg. Hello, Tobin.
Hello, how are you?
Tobin, what do you do for us?
I'm the Director of Product Management. I'm responsible for the business service management solutions here at Novell.
We also have on the line Michelle Hudnall. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Ron.
Michelle, what do you do for us?
I am the Solution Product Marketing Manager for the business service management solutions here at Novell, so the go-to-market strategy for the solutions that we have.
Exactly what is this business service management that we're talking about?
Business service management is the practice that IT organizations work to achieve in translating their communication of service performance from technology-based services to application-based services to the organizations. An example being, instead of talking about, is the server available, you're talking about, how is my online trading or how is my online retail service or application performing for the business?
When you say looking at that service, you mean that you're not just looking at that application itself, but you're looking at kind of that application and everything that it takes to make that application run properly?
Right. Now that we have such a distributed infrastructure and becomes more complex when you start talking about things like virtualization, but looking at the servers, the networks, the applications, the databases, and presenting it in an overall view of how is this service performing and am I open for business?
So that's business service management. Now, what is Novell Operations Center?
Novell Operations Center is the product that we use to deliver business service management to our customers. And there are three core capabilities to the product. The availability monitoring piece of it, so what we call service monitoring. There is the service mapping, so being able to map your infrastructure and manage the configuration items. And then the service measuring. So once you're able to map it and monitor it, now folks are more mature, they start to apply service level rules in order to manage more to a business objective as a service to the business.
Okay, can I get you to explain each one of those in a little more detail? So you started out with mapping. What does mapping mean?
The service mapping piece of it is typically applied to organizations that have configuration or CMDB projects. The objective that they're trying to accomplish is usually around some kind of compliance or standards of an infrastructure or standard model for the services and ensuring that change occurs in an approved fashion. So that's the compliance piece of it, that folks aren't touching systems that shouldn't be and things are in an operating environment as I last approved changes so that you can track, is there an approved change or did somebody just not update the configuration or the mapping view of the items within the infrastructure. So it concentrates more on the configuration and the items within the configuration versus its health and availability.
As well as making sure that there's processes in place to track changes. I assume that's what you meant when you said CMDB?
Yeah, so the change process is what wraps around the configuration map or the CMDB, if you will, that ensures that change occurs correctly and one change doesn't step on another change, and that things are done to mitigate risk within the environment of service impact because I didn't adhere to a good change process.
Okay.
Okay, so you've used the term CMDB. I want to make sure I'm clear what that means.
CMDB is a configuration management database. This is a common term that's defined by ITIL, which is the IT infrastructure library, which defines a common set of operating processes to IT organizations. And the CMDB is the core, the heart of it. It's really just the database that contains all of the items. They could be physical or logical. You think of problem tickets or change tickets as the logical entities, or service maps or service models as another logical entity that's taking the physical entities within the organization, like your networks, your applications, your software, your hardware, and mapping it as a service and attaching problem tickets or change tickets to that. So it's a combination of logical and physical items within your organization. But the strength of it is really the CMS, the configuration management system. It's that process that wraps around the database that ensures that it stays accurate and adheres to the change process. And automating that process is very key to organizations in order to keep the database itself accurate.
And what that really allows me to do is if I all of a sudden notice Friday morning when people come in, we've got a problem, what I can do is I can look at the CMDB and I can say, all right, what's changed in the past 12 hours, 4 hours, whatever my window is, and really see not only what changed on the server side, but I can also find out that there was an update to the routers that happened that could be affecting this, or an OS was updated on some server and this might affect it. It really lets me kind of see everything that's changed in my environment within a given time window, correct?
That's correct, Aaron. And what we bring to the table is the automation that brings speed to finding and pinpointing that change by reconciling multiple sources to look at how did it look before the change, how does it look now, and highlighting here's what's changed. This could be the problem.
So what do you mean multiple sources? Don't most customers just have one CMDB?
Oh, that's the scary part. Many customers have dozens of CMDBs because if you think of all the management tools that could contribute information to the CMDB, each one of them has a CMDB of its own, whether it's availability data, performance data, problem tickets, hardware configurations. So you generally grab that data from multiple sources, and each source would be a trusted source for a category of information. And federating that data into a single model is what gives power to the operations center.
So we really bring a lot of value to customers that even have CMDBs already distributed in their environment.
We leverage the data and the tools that they have in place today and turn that data into intelligent information so that the IT organization can take appropriate action, whether it be restoring service because they're in a time of problem or being more proactive during a change. Looking at, I've got several changes going on at the same time. Do I really want to do all of those changes at the same time, or do I want to spread them out?
So what about the monitoring that you mentioned?
Service monitoring is creating a service model of your environment. So this network, these applications, these servers make up this service as the business would phone into me, and being able to look at metrics regarding availability and performance. So looking at the health of the service so that I might be able to see a spike in CPU utilization or a spike in network traffic. So this might indicate impending risk of service impact to the business, and maybe I can do something about it before something goes down.
So how does this monitoring associate with the mapping?
Generally, in IT organizations, you might have two different managers, one who's the availability manager and one that is the configuration manager, and they might not think that they share the same service map. But when in reality, they do share that same service map. So if one is looking at it more from a straight configuration standpoint and keeping things accurate from a data standpoint, the power comes in when you can layer and connect the health and availability of that same model. So you're not keeping duplicate models of the infrastructure, but you're satisfying answering two different questions, one about compliance and configuration, and the second about how does this service perform for the business, where I'm more concerned about the availability and the service performance.
So it's really just different perspectives or viewpoints looking at that same model then.
It's like a Rubik's Cube. You use it once, but you view it many different times by many different roles within your organization. The three key ones that make up business service management from the service monitoring is the availability and performance. So the availability manager, the mapping side of it is typically the configuration manager, and then the service level side is usually someone responsible for service delivery, much like a product manager of a software company reporting how well is their products and services meeting the business requirements and which ones are more important, where should we apply our resources.
Okay, and then I assume I can also create roles for specific business owners so that a business owner can see how their specific application is performing and such?
Absolutely. You can also create business views where they're more concerned of just looking at how well their service is and kind of cut them off from drilling down too deep because, of course, you don't want them to get too deep in the weeds of the technical infrastructure.
Oh, that's great that you can limit how deep they can go because you're right. Those guys, you really just want to give a big overall picture. They want to know, is the system up and is it performing to whatever SLA we may have an agreement with?
And another key component to Novell Operations Center is we can also bring in business data. So I generically call this value volume of transactions. So at that level, they may be interested in seeing the level of transactions that are being processed and the value of those transactions in relationship to the health and availability of the services. Because the systems may be available, but we're not transacting the business we expected.
Oh.
So what's going on?
Michelle, now what is this measuring?
The service measuring is the service level agreement side of the service model. So if you think of it in terms of my commitment as an IT organization to the business, around many metrics, but three key metrics are how available are the services, how well are they performing. Just because they're available doesn't mean they're necessarily performing well. And we all know something's going to happen at some time or another. How responsive should I be when something happens? So defining the mission criticality of the service to the business.
Cool. We've gone over and talked about these different components, and really you've explained to us what BSM is and what Novell Operations Center is. Can you give me a real-world example of how a customer might use this or how a customer is currently using this and how it's benefited them?
So if you think of it in terms of I'm monitoring my infrastructure, but a server goes down and I need to know, many of us look at the phone, how fast does the phone ring and how many phones ring at the same time? Instead of that being your dashboard of the criticality of a service to the business, you understand, because you have a view of your infrastructure as the service, as the business is consuming it, that you know right away when something happens, what is it impacting? And you know the severity and priority of that impact. Am I impacting a mission critical service, or am I impacting something that has less priority within the business? So yes, this server might be down, but it doesn't really impact the transactions of the business at this time. I might look at it a different way. If I'm making a change to that server, I can see how does it participate in the services that the business consumes and when I might want to plan that change so that I mitigate the risk of service impact to the business. That gives the IT organization that proactive capability to manage to the business aligned to the objectives.
You mentioned two things there that are very interesting, which is, first, I like the fact that you're not relying on the people at the end of the phone to tell you how severe the thing being down is, because if it affects internal people, that's one thing, but if I have another problem happening at the same time and it stops customers from entering orders or our ability to process orders, you know, generating money is the number one thing that a company typically does. So that's obviously a higher priority than possibly even getting, you know, the internal email system back up.
We give you that ability as you define those service models to be able to define those metrics, and that's the service measuring side of it, applying true business objectives to how you respond to incidents as they occur in relationship to the contribution it has to the business services that it's participating in.
Yeah, and the other thing that I liked that you mentioned was being able to see how a change is going to affect things within your organization, so that I might have somebody that specifically is a specialist on Cisco routers and handles all of our Cisco routers, and they decide that they're going to do a firmware upgrade to this router, and they don't think this router affects anything. I like the fact that you can kind of say, whoa, if you were going to do this, this is going to affect this system, and this system. So it really gives them a much broader view of how changes are going to affect their environment.
It's all about the service view. It's that end-to-end service view versus technology view. You're changing technology, but you also have that view of, okay, who's going to call me if this doesn't come up when I expect it to?
Michelle, can you give me an example of how this has really benefited a customer?
Yes, this is a great story. Industry metrics over and over will tell you that 1% to 2% of revenue is impacted annually by service outages. A single service outage could cost you 1% to 2% of revenue on its own. We've had customers in the past that illustrate this for us day in and day out. Had one CIO who was phoned by a peer of his who happened to be a customer who said, I know you guys have good quality programs in place, but we're really having trouble ordering equipment from you. Something's going on with the systems where we place the orders. And these folks, they were experiencing about 60 plus hours of downtime. So if you look at the typical industry metrics, an hour of downtime typically costs an organization $100,000. They had about $6 million worth of downtime that year with this customer. That customer still could place orders. So this, you can think of it as a performance issue. However, it was enough performance issue that the CIO picked up the phone and called his peer and said, hey, what's going on? Because I can order that equipment from somebody else. So once they put Novell Operations Center in place and they had an end-to-end view of their infrastructure, they could better monitor and manage proactively those servers and reduce and eliminate that downtime so that they were impacting less of that business. So that was a direct business tie of placing orders and transacting business. And it just happened to be that the customer was his peer and picked up the phone and phoned in. But this is really critical for organizations today as you look at cloud computing, and the infrastructure gets much more complex with cloud computing environments. And what is really driving the imperative of business service management projects today is the notion of competition, because the service providers are going direct to the business to sell their services, and they speak the language of the business. I'm offering this service, this is what it costs you, and I'm giving you easy payment terms. So this is a time when BSM becomes an imperative for IT organizations in order to be able to communicate their services so that they can manage that infrastructure so that they're impacting business less than they were in the past.
And that actually brings up another point, which is I tell you, more and more customers that I talk to before cloud really started to kick up, and now with cloud it's even more, everything is being tied to an SLA. What kind of guarantee? You say that you're going to give me 4 or 5 nines of uptime, but can you really prove that it's happening?
And does that service really require 4 or 5 nines of uptime? That's the problem with the internal IT organizations, is they get put in an awkward position to offer all services created equal. And if they can speak in terms of services and what it costs to deliver that service, then they can have that cost and value discussion with the business to turn the dials up or down on various services based upon their real criticality. Because if they were to go outside and contract for those services and ask for stringent SLAs, they would have to pay for that. So then they have that conversation with the service provider. So they need to have that same conversation with the internal folks and realization that there's a real cost for asking for stringent SLAs and apply those where it makes the most sense.
Perfect. Okay, so now, Michelle, I think Ron and I have a real good feeling for what Novell Operations Center does. But to be honest with you, Ron and I are itching here. We've got to get our nerd on. We got to understand how this thing actually works. So, Tobin, I've got a couple questions for you. So first, when Michelle was talking about the CMDB and interacting with multiple CMDBs, how do you actually do that? Do we have agents that have to be written and run on each of those individual CMDBs? Do we just do remote database calls? How does that actually work?
So we have these things called adapters. They're the integration modules. It's the way in which we connect to a discrete source. So in some cases, it might be an asset management system. And in some cases, you just configure the adapter because they're predefined in the sense that they know how to integrate with the underlying source. But then as you bring the data in, you could then select the class of devices that you want stored within the CMDB.
And I assume at that point, you can also do some normalization?
Exactly. Just because there's 25 different things that you can find out about a server, it doesn't mean you need to store all those bits and pieces of information with the CMDB. Typically, we recommend that you start small because one of the challenges with the CMDB is data quality. And if you try and boil the ocean and bring in anything and everything to start with, it's going to run into a data quality problem because you're going to have to maintain that data.
And I assume we already have adapters for all of the big common CMDBs out there like Tivoli and HP OpenView and such, correct?
We have common adapters to different products out there. In some cases, we use our more generic integration called the data integrator, which allows you to define the integration on the fly and define how to integrate with the database directly. But we do ship several out-of-the-box adapters to the common products.
I was just curious on that. So we pull all of this information from these other various CMDBs into our own CMDB, or do we draw on those only on demand?
We pull them into ours. There's two sides to it. The first part is the integration, and typically the integration relies on the integratability. I'll make up new words here. The integratability with the other system. In some cases, it's an all or nothing proposition, meaning that when you connect into it, you say, give me it, and it gives you everything. But it doesn't mean that you want to store all of that within the CMDB. In other cases, you can hone that to specific things. You know, I only want servers and switches and routers and things of that nature. But then what we do is we hold that part in memory, and then you can run an automated job to say, these are the specific classes of devices or things that I want to store within the CMDB. And then you can select the different types of attributes. So server, make, model, serial number, maybe the operating system, applications installed, things like that. And potentially if the underlying source also has a relationship or dependency mapping, meaning that this web server makes connections to that database, we can also store off those bits of information.
And how often do we collect this information? Is it a scheduled thing that happens, or do we wait for events to happen before we collect the new information?
So that's an interesting question. One of the challenges that change management, which is a common buyer of this, run into is that they want to have the information quickly, but they also don't really need it in a timely manner. Because, I mean, if you think about change management, a lot of the changes are happening after hours. And so they almost need snapshots of time. So typically getting snapshots or updating the CMDB every couple hours is fine. Now, we can make that very near real time, but typically it's not required.
Okay, so that covers the mapping portion of this. What about the monitoring? How do we interact with different consoles and such?
It follows the same paradigm, meaning that we have these adapters, these integration modules, and they connect to some of the common products out there. So there's event managers. They have special rules or agents deployed that are monitoring like disk space, CPU utilization, and they're reporting back to their management domain. In other cases, they're doing some kind of discovery, and they're monitoring and doing pings and probes of devices to make sure they're up and running and happy. So we're using the same kind of methodology where we're integrating with the APIs or the gateways to understand what they know. So what are the elements that you're managing? What are the properties and attributes of them? And what's the health and availability? And so depending upon the thing that you're integrating with, you're going to get different pieces of information.
Really, it seems like this is more of a pull from our side rather than a push from their side, correct?
Actually, in some cases, some of those integrations are push. So where possible, we like to use the publish-subscribe model so that we connect to the backend source and we subscribe to notification changes. But of course, there are some APIs that are not as robust, so we have to do more of a polling methodology.
Okay, so it really depends on what you're trying to communicate with, how we're going to be able to do it. Sometimes we can do very native communication with it. And other times we might have to rely on some of the more generic standard protocols and such like SNMP or SIM?
Yeah, pretty much. The integrations are typically with the API, so it's not really at the protocol level. But there are some integrations where we do actually do protocol level type of integration, so like with JDBC. But I would say for the third-party products, the majority of them would be around their specific native API as opposed to some of the common more protocols.
So now, how about Measure? Is it pretty much the same architecture that we've been talking about where you have an agent that installs, or is this more of just a high-level view of everything that we got from mapping and monitoring?
Yeah, it's probably best description. That's more of the high-level view. So typically when we talk about measuring, people want to do some kind of service-level measurements. And most geeks are talking about that my server's up 99.5% of the time. While that's interesting, it still doesn't tell you how well the business is doing. So the monitoring piece gets you connectivity to all the different layers so that you kind of understand the whole system health. And then you may leverage mapping to help model out the topology of the services. And then with the measuring piece, you then can start to apply service levels that are of interest to your side of the business. So understanding if your web server is up and running 99% of the time, just because one node in the cluster went down, you don't want to take a service level impact. You may start taking some kind of performance or responsive impact. But again, it's the types of service levels that you want to apply to the services.
And so with the measuring, is this going out and actually generating reports, or is this something that's actually presented to you kind of in a real time?
So you can go to the dashboard and you can look historically. So how have I been doing against my service level for the past week, the past month, the past year? But you can do real time as well. And that's kind of a unique differentiator with our product in that when there is an outage going on, we can get a warning that says, look, if you don't address this problem right now, you're going to breach your SLA within the next 5 minutes. And so most of the service level management tools in the environment, they tell you how you did. And knowing what pieces that I need to work on now, which ones are the most important, could in the end save me money at the end of the month or the end of the duration of the service level.
Now, Michelle mentioned earlier for a business owner how we could actually create a custom view for them. Is that through this dashboard that you're referring to?
Yes. So the idea is that you're going to set up a couple different pages, probably one for your operators or maybe for managers and executives. And so one of those views could be for your executives in the sense that they're probably going to want to look at the highest level. Maybe it's a customer-centric type of view as opposed to a technology view. So they want to see at the high level, maybe it's transactions from stock trading, maybe it's revenue, as well as the high-level health of the services that they're providing. So kind of those, the hall talk, the common applications that are most important to the business. But then for a business or a group, maybe a division owner, he may only be able to be interested in the things that are unique to their department. So you have the ability to slice and dice these based on the role you provide within your organization.
So really, the dashboard lets me see exactly what's going on now and the real live picture of what's happening in my environment, where reports are more for like looking at historical, how have we done over the past month, the past quarter, the past year, what have you, correct?
Right. I mean, the dashboard does provide kind of an online live view where you can kind of click at historically and currently where I'm at. And there's the old school print a PDF kind of report for you so you can walk down the hall into a meeting. But I would say the paradigm today is more I want to click and interact with it as opposed to print out pieces of paper and walk down the hall.
And Kane, with these dashboards too, I mean, what we're really talking here is just visibility. It's not like I'm going to go to this dashboard, see that there's a problem and click some buttons within the dashboard that actually do things to solve the problem?
In some cases, you can. I mean, you probably don't want your executive in there rebooting routers and stuff. But, you know, if you're the operator and you have the proper authorization, entitlement types of things like that, you can start to actually work on the thing. So you can look at what's the root cause of my web server's performance problems. Oh, it looks like there's a couple nodes down. Well, let me drill into that. Let me look at the actual alarms. Oh, I see what the problem is. I'm going to fix it, and I'm going to close the alarm. So there's actually bi-directional capability with these integration modules.
Oh, that's great. But I'd also imagine, especially when you're dealing with large corporations, you have so many small islands of expertise that when you see it's a problem with the web servers or with the routers or whatever, just being able to say, I know the group that I need to contact that are the experts in our implementation of this equipment really, really gets problems fixed faster.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to the owners of the system. And so again, that kind of gets into the role-based views. So you'll have some of these high-level, service-level views. But again, we still hire people today. I need a DBA, I need a network person. So you're going to have some of those technical type of views where they just want to look at their own little world and manage their own little world. But, you know, again, it's just another view.
Now, when we talk about integrating with all these different systems and CMDBs and actual monitoring systems, it sounds like implementation can just be huge. Do people typically implement this for their entire environment, or how does an implementation normally work?
One of the common approaches we do with our customers is we recommend for them to go after the one that's keeping them up late at night. So which one are they worried about the most? Which one kind of made them call us looking for solving this problem of getting 90 different people off the phone call trying to troubleshoot problems around a specific application? And maybe start with that one application. Let's kind of model it out. Let's tie in the underlying monitoring tools to light it up and show the true health and availability. Maybe turn on some service level management to kind of look at the SLAs that we're achieving. But in the end, it's going to help them manage that environment much better. And then they can grow from there and maybe start managing some of the other services that are important to their organization.
So how complex is it to implement all these things? Is this something they can do in-house, or are they going to need some expertise from Novell or a partner to come in and help them set this up?
It's pretty common to leverage some kind of consulting, whether it's Novell or through a partner, to get these things started. But again, the integration is something we're very strong on. And so it's something you can install and within a couple of days start seeing your environment and be able to organize it and start to build some views. But understanding what your end vision is, what your end goal, what the problems is you're trying to solve, sometimes it helps to have an outside third party to kind of walk you through that and understand the goals and kind of do a top-down approach on this. What's our end goal? What's our end vision? Okay, so what does that view need to look like? And in the end, it ends up mapping out what the integrations need to do for you.
You mentioned you typically want to start small. Having that bigger vision up front before you even start small would probably help as it grows, instead of, you know, implementing something that's small and then doesn't necessarily plug into the bigger picture.
Yeah, and you know, in some cases that big vision does shift, because I think there's times where you want to boil the ocean, and then as you start bringing in all these different views and setting them up, you start finding out, well, you know, maybe that's not as important as I thought it was. Maybe we can trim off that leg of the view, and maybe this other view here, maybe we need that one to go a little bit deeper instead.
So being able to tune this thing through time is a key feature as well.
In the early days when we were installing these solutions, it was interesting. We would come in and help the customers and set these up, and we would come back 3-6 months later or check in on things, and we almost don't even recognize it anymore because they've taken it and run with it.
That's great that they can enhance and tweak the system themselves, and they don't have to rely on us all the time.
Yeah, it's very important.
Now, we did have a product called BSM that I think the current version is 4.7. Is this the next version of that product?
Yes, it is. This is the 5.0 release where we've done a lot of work around currency certification, so updating the platforms it supports, the databases, and some of the integrations. We've also done some renaming of the areas, as well as updating some of the features within the product by enhancing them further.
And what type of features are those?
One example of that would be around the LDAP. I mean, we had an ability to integrate with LDAP and, you know, do for login and authentication purposes, but we wanted to improve that by allowing the administrators of the system to create different types of groups, because in some cases you've got users that are not in LDAP, or maybe you have multiple LDAP servers, and you want to have these groups to be more self-maintaining and be more directly integrated with the LDAPs. The other piece is around a legacy dashboard we used to have. So we used to have something called Portal Builder. With the 5.0 release, we're dropping that. And one of the key features that we pulled out of that was the service level management portlets. So those portlets, which were in Portal Builder, are now going to be native within the Novell Operations Center dashboard. This is good for some of our customers who were embracing our newer dashboard, but we're having to deploy both portlets in order to have a full end-to-end solution. So now they'll be able to just do the single dashboard and have these updated service level management portlets in it. And on the cloud front, we're going to have the adapter for Novell Cloud Manager. And so this is going to be useful for those environments where they have a clear definition of the services they're offering and have a mapping of it. So this adapter will allow them to directly build the service models based on the services they have defined within Cloud Manager and then correlate to the monitoring tools. One of the other interesting parts is if maybe they have a mixture and they're doing something with Amazon EC2, we'll also have an adapter integration for that as well. So it'll allow you to some visibility within that environment.
So Michelle and Tobin, thanks a lot for sitting down and talking to Ron and I about Novell Operations Center 5.0.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Remember that Novell Open Audio is brought to you by Novell Incorporated. Most of our content is directed by our listener community. So please send us your feedback by email at openaudio@novell.com or by leaving comments on our website at novell.com/openaudio. That's it for this time. Have a good one.